it's a work of truly symphonic scale. Brahms holds nothing back. He in fact, he wanted to write a four-movement concerto and then thought better of it while he was at work, and it came out in the traditional three. But these are three big movements, and especially the first movement, just an extraordinary, dramatic, symphonic utterance with everything thrown in. It kind of makes it difficult for the violin to stand out against the orchestra, which is one of the reasons that an early pundit said this is a concerto against the violin. But it truly is, in a way, and it's what makes it so dramatic, is to have this big symphonic engine standing against the soloist. And is the soloist going to come through? Is the soloist going to deliver the drama? Well, the answer is, when Brahms is doing it, yes, it's going to happen.
Anna-Sophie Mutter, the soloist there with the New York Philharmonic, conducted by Kurt Mazur in this live recording of the Brahms Violin Concerto. Of course, she has to do something very different in the second movement. The adagio is a whole different sound.
Very different. Again, the idea is to maximize the contrast and to really achieve the broadest span of expression in the music. And Brahms knowingly puts this drama in the first movement, and then he relaxes and allows the soloist an opportunity to give a meditation. And it's such beautiful music after this stormy, turbulent, and very, very passionate opening movement, a gentle and tender meditation, which Anna-Sophie Mutter plays with such great beauty. Every time I hear this movement, I'm impressed by this sense of feeling that she has for the music, very much in the romantic vein, but in no way cliché. This is deep, passionate, and very much her own take on the music.
Now, a liner note says, Ted, this recording is dedicated by Anna-Sophie Mutter to the memory of her husband, Dr. Detlef Wunderlich. And, you know, you don't want to read too much into this stuff, heaven knows, but it's hard when you know that not to hear an elegiac quality in that.
I think you're absolutely right. I know that that Sophie Mutter and Kurt Mazur were working on this music for more than a year before they made this recording, and it developed this interpretation and her desire to sort of bare her soul in this music. You can't help but feel that there's an elegiac quality and even some anger in places, but she proves herself to be an interpretive master.
Now, Ted, with any concerto, I think the question has to come up, how much is by the composer, and how much was the composer helped along by the soloist for whom the concerto was originally written?
Well, in this case, it's a very clear instance of a collaboration. Brahms turned to the greatest violinist of his day, Joseph Joachim, who had been a friend of his since 1853, so that's 25 years. And then Brahms gets started on the concerto, and he says, I better turn for some expert advice on writing idiomatically for the instrument. What can you tell me about this? And Joachim took this assignment to heart, and he really, really worked very hard. And when you think of the role that Joachim had in its creation, you have to understand Brahms's tribute to Joachim, which was to make the final movement of the concerto a Hungarian rondo. Joachim was born in the city of Pest, which is now Budapest, and he was very interested in the gypsy style. So Brahms, to signal his respect for Joachim, made the final movement of this concerto a kind of gypsy rondo, and it's a style that Brahms himself loved to play in, and the sparks literally fly.
Thank you. Thank you.